When the sea serpent had finished her story, no one said a word. At last, Firedrake looked up at the black sky.
"Did you never hear of them again?" he asked.
The serpent swayed back and forth.
"Oh, there are many stories. The mermen and mermaids who swim up the Indus from time to time tell tales of a valley far, far away in the mountains. And they say that the shadow of a flying dragon sometimes falls on the valley floor. They believe that brownies have helped the dragons hide. And looking at your companion here," she added, glancing at Sorrel, "I'd say the story is not improbable."
Firedrake did not reply, but stood there, sunk in deep thought.
"I really wish we knew where that monster went," growled Sorrel. "I don't like the way he can appear and disappear just like that."
The serpent bent her head until her tongue was tickling Sorrel's pointed ears.
"The monster is in league with the powers of the water, Brownie," she hissed. "All dragons can swim, although they are creatures of fire. But this one is Lord of the Water. Water is his servant even more than it is mine. I never saw that monster again. But sometimes, when I feel a cold current passing through the depths of the sea, I know that the dragon with the golden armor is out hunting."
Firedrake was still silent. "Golden," he murmured at last. He was golden. "Sorrel, does that remind you of anything?" The brownie looked at him in surprise.
"No, why should it?"
"Wait a minute. The old dragon at home in the north," said Firedrake. "He warned us against the golden one before we set out. Strange, don't you think?" Ben suddenly clapped a hand to his forehead.
"Golden!" he cried. "That's it! Golden scales!"
He quickly opened his backpack. "Sorry, Twigleg," he said, as the homunculus sleepily put his head out from Ben's things. "Just looking for my bag with a scale in it."
"The scale?"
All at once, the homunculus was wide awake.
"Yes, I want to show it to the serpent." Ben carefully fished out the golden scale from among his other treasures.
Twigleg emerged anxiously from his warm hiding place.
"What serpent?" he asked, peeking out of the backpack. And then with a shriek of terror, he dived back into Ben's clothes. "Here, Twigleg." Ben pulled him out by his collar. "There's nothing to be frightened of. She's rather large, but perfectly friendly. Honest."
"Friendly?"
muttered Twigleg, digging himself in again as far as he could go. "Anything that size is dangerous, however friendly it may be."
The sea serpent brought her head closer, looking curious.
"What do you want to show me, little human?" she asked. "And what's that whispering in your bag?"
It's only Twigleg," replied Ben. He carefully stood up on Firedrake's back and held the scale out to the serpent on the palm of his hand.
"Look, could this be one of the giant dragon's scales?"
The serpent bent so close to Ben's hand that the tip of her tongue brushed his arm.
"Yes," she hissed. "Yes, it could be. Put it against my neck."
Ben looked at the serpent in surprise. But he did as she asked. When the golden scale touched the serpent's iridescent neck, her whole body shuddered so violently that Firedrake almost fell off her back.
"Yes," she hissed. "That is one of the monster's scales. It looks like warm gold, but it burns like ice."
"It's always icy cold," said Ben. "Even if you leave it out in the sun, I've experimented."
Carefully, he put the scale back in his little bag. Twigleg had disappeared from view entirely.
"Fair cousin," said the sea serpent, addressing the dragon politely, "you must take good care of your little human. Possessing something that belongs to so wild and rapacious a creature is not without its dangers. Perhaps the monster will want its property back one day. Even if that property is only a single scale."
"You're right," Firedrake turned to Ben, concern in his eyes. Maybe you ought to throw that scale into the sea. But Ben shook his head.
No, please, he said. I really want to look after it for you, Firedrake. It was a present, don't you see? Anyway, how would the monster know I have it?
Firedrake nodded thoughtfully. You're right. How would he know? He looked up at the place of the moon in the sky. A faint, rusty red glow was beginning to return.
Yes, the moon will soon be back, said the serpent, following the direction of Firedrake's gaze. Do you wish to take to the air again, fiery cousin? Or shall I carry you over the sea on my back?
You'd have to tell me where you're going, though.
Surprised, Firedrake looked at the serpent. His wings were still heavy, and his limbs felt as weary as if he hadn't slept for years.
Go on, say yes, said Ben, patting the dragon's scale. Let the serpent carry us. She won't get lost, and you can have a good rest, couldn't you?
Firedrake turned his head to look at Zoro.
I expect I'll be seasick, she muttered. All the same, yes.
You really could do with the rest.
Firedrake agreed and turned back to the serpent. We are bound for the village on the coast where the dragons were attacked. Someone we want to visit lives there. The sea serpent nodded.
Then I will take you to the place, she said.